What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. Today on the show, really excited for this conversation with Brett Kern, longtime NFL punter, 16 seasons in the NFL with the Broncos, but most of his time spent with Tennessee, 13 seasons with the Titans, the franchise leader in pretty much every punting category with the Titans, Brett Kern. And then last year in 2022, last season, I should say, he was cut by the Titans and maybe thought his career was over. And guess what? He gets a call from the Philadelphia Eagles and he has an opportunity to kick for the Eagles throughout their playoff run, kicking in the divisional game, the championship game when they won over the Niners. And then he gets to the Super Bowl and he is now an NFC champion and Super Bowl participant. Although it wasn't all perfect for Brett Kern. He actually didn't play in the Super Bowl. They brought the other punter back, and Brett was still on the team, still on the roster, on the sidelines, and talks about all of that experience and certainly what retirement is now like for him. He retired this past summer before this season, and it's an interesting time to talk to him, I think, as the NFL postseason is upon us very soon. And Brett went through a whole lot, a whirlwind, if you will, last year, but certainly his entire 16-year punting career in the NFL. Lots of gratitude mentioned, his walk with Jesus as a platform in the football world. We talked a lot about that, as well as reflecting quite a bit with Brett Kern. He's awesome, and I'm excited for you to hear his conversation today on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to remind you about our partners and friends from Compassion International. They are the most trusted child development ministry in the world, and they are the perfect ministry to partner with, especially if you have a heart for kids who are stuck in poverty. That's what Compassion is all about, bringing the love of Jesus and helping these kids be released from these poverty-stricken situations all over the world. You can go to compassion.com/sportsspectrum right now, compassion.com/sportsspectrum, and pray about sponsoring a child right now. Food, education, medical care, vocational training, it's all done, as I said, in the name of Jesus. It's why Compassion is the most trusted child development ministry in the land. Definitely consider sponsoring a child right now by going to compassion.com/sportsspectrum. compassion.com/sportsspectrum. Is Brett Kern, former NFL punter, Pro Bowler, three-time Pro Bowl punter. Hey, Brett, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I want to know how you're doing. It's retirement year. You've gone through basically a full season now, not having kicked a football and played played football. I don't know when's the last time you didn't play football, maybe since you were a kid. But what's this year been like for you? How's retirement treating Brett Kern?
Yeah, it's been a really good change of pace. The emotional, physical stress, you know, playing football. I guess I didn't really realize how much of a toll it took, how much it kind of weared on myself and my family. And so to be done, it's been a really good change of pace. My daughter's doing basketball right now, and you know, the month of October, November was middle school soccer for two of our oldest kids. And my wife was able to help coach, which has, you know, been a huge blessing. And first time in a really, really long time, I was able to celebrate Thanksgiving and, you know, this past Christmas being home. And it's been a blessing. So definitely a change of pace, which has been really good, but a lot more family time, which is what I envisioned when I retired.
No, that's good. I mean, you put in your time for sure, 13 seasons. How have you grown closer to the Lord since you stepped away from football, since you officially made it official?
Yeah, honestly, I had a dream when I was playing, just the time that I was able to, the schedule that was laid out before me. You know, now when you're retired, you're kind of making your own schedule. So at times, I found myself just kind of bouncing all over the walls with stuff to do. And, you know, where in football, it's very regimented. And so I had my time in the morning when I was reading, road trips, home games in the hotel, I had my time to do my reading and kind of getting in the word. And so actually, it's been a little bit more challenging being done with football. But I've also found more time to read. And so whether it's reading books, you know, spending a little bit more time in the word, Maybe not as consistent as I wanted to be,
Sure.
but I found myself reading a lot more in certain periods of times. And so now I'm in a season of just kind of reflecting and resting. When you go really, I played 3 years in high school, obviously 4 years in college, and then 15 years in the NFL. It's a lot of football, right? And it's funny you said this earlier. The last time I actually touched a football was probably the day that we had our interview at the Super Bowl media night. So,
Interesting. Yeah, that's funny.
yeah, and so it's been a long time, but I just find myself, being able to just to kind of get in the word a little bit more, read. In football, I wouldn't do that as much. And so it's been really good just to kind of sit back, reflect, rest, and just kind of see what the Lord has next.
Yeah, and I want to correct myself. I think I said 13 years. That was just with the Titans. It's actually 16 seasons. We want to make sure we get all 16 in there, right, Brett?
Oh yeah, 13 here in Nashville, which is obviously home for us. And
Yeah.
so yeah, it's days, you could even equate this to, football, parenting, whatever, but the days are slow, but the years, they go fast, man.
Yes.
My son is, 5'11", just grown like a weed, and I can't keep certain food groups, stocked in our house, for him. And so it's just really trying to cherish, you were talking earlier about your daughter being in college, right? I mean, we got, really 5 years left before he's off to school. We're sending our first kid off to college. So,
Yeah.
I think retiring was at a really good time because, when you're playing football, there is a lot of sacrifice, at your family's expense, especially my wife. And so really to just kind of say, hey, you know what? It's time for something different, time for something new, and really just spend more time with family.
You mentioned reading. What are you reading right now? Or what's a book that you've read recently that's been one that stands out for you?
Yeah, actually, I just finished Rediscovering Israel. Christy McClellan, she's a local Nashville. She teaches at Church of the City here in town.
Sure.
She's at Williamson College. She's just a small little Bible school, 10 minutes down the street from where I live. And so she just I just got done reading her book, and it was a I'm not a reader. I'll tell you right now, it takes a lot for me to sit down and read, and I cranked out her book in a week.
Wow.
And it goes through the Bible in a 25, 30,000 foot view, bird's eye view, of really through a Middle Eastern, lens, and compared to here in the Western culture, how we learn, what does the Bible, what does it say about me? Instead of really over in the Middle East, it's, what does the Bible say about God? Right. And so it kind of goes through the whole Bible from a bird's eye view, just through Middle Eastern context, right, through Jewish, rabbinic, culture, right? And so how we perceive a verse is really, if you break it down into Hebrew, what does it really mean, and all that kind of stuff. And so it was a fascinating book. It's one that I'll read again and make sure that I take proper notes so that it's, so that I'm well equipped for just the knowledge that, she talks about in that book.
Say the name of the book again so people listening can make sure they get their copy.
Rediscovering Israel by Christy McClellan.
Rediscovering Israel. Got it. He is Brett
Yep.
Kern, and he's joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. What's your Jesus story? Like, did you grow up in a Christian home? What's your walk with Christ been like? How did it start?
I did. Real quick, grew up in Buffalo, New York. My dad, deacon, mom taught at church. Just grew up going to church every Sunday. Felt like, to kind of uphold the perception of kind of the reputation that we had, just in the community that I was in. Went to church, said all the right things, did all the right things. But really when I got to college, when there's nobody around, there's no parents, I went to Toledo, which is, about a 5 hour drive, Buffalo through Cleveland onto Toledo. And I was just, it was the first time in my life I was really on my own where I had to make decisions, and I struggled. It was really hard. And so it came to a point with, alcohol and partying and stuff like that, that I realized, like, this is kind of a waste of what the Lord's given me. And so I kind of rededicated my life to Him and met my wife shortly thereafter. And then really, it's been a growing point. Obviously, with the NFL, there's just a lot of stories, a lot of growing experiences, a lot of valley moments, dark moments, and there's a lot of mountaintop moments as well. And so, faith was tested, faith was grown through this whole process, and just learned a lot about myself. And then obviously just still, trying to gather information and learn more about our creator.
Yeah, it's interesting too because you go undrafted, right? So, did you have an inkling coming out of Toledo that the NFL might come calling and that might be a direction that God was going to take you in?
I mean, it was always a hope of mine. Realistically, I mean, to go from high school to college to the pro, you're kind of the 1% of the 1%, right? And so from a realistic standpoint, I thought if I could just get a chance, that'd be great, right?
Sure.
And at that time there was NFL Europe, which I thought, hey, if I have a pretty good college career, I feel like I could go over to NFL Europe for a year or two and maybe get established that way. Well, of course, what happens to NFL Europe is my senior year at Toledo. So really it was either make it or you don't. A lot of things have changed because of COVID. They've expanded the practice squad. Usually some teams will keep a kicker or punter on the practice squad. But, when I came out in 2008, there was really the thought of keeping a kicker or punter on a practice squad was not going to happen because it was so much smaller than what it is now.
Yeah.
But I just wanted a chance. And when I got to Denver, it was me versus two other kids, two other guys, and both of them had a little bit of NFL experience. And it was just, and it was a grind. It was a battle, competing. And really, that first year was, I mean, you're talking about trying not to drown. You feel like the water's kind of, up by your mouth, up by your nose. You're just gasping for breath, trying to figure out how to get through your rookie year without, really wanting to quit, because it's so much different than college, right? The pressure, the expectations, knowing that you're really on a week to week, trial run. So especially at my position, right? You could go out and get another guy, pretty easily off the streets. So, yeah, it was a lot. It was a grind, but it was a dream that I've always had growing up to try to make it, and really just seeing God's provision through the years of, even getting released in Denver, thinking, well, I think my career might be over. My son was 6 weeks old. How am I gonna, really provide for him, and my wife, to then coming to Nashville, and I never would have thought I'd be here for 13 years, right?
Yeah.
And then to have the experience in Philly last year, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to play in the Super Bowl, but to be able to stand, knowing I was on the sidelines, knowing that this was going to be my last game, to be able to take in a Super Bowl from the sidelines and just really take it in and enjoy it was really a great way to finish my career.
Yeah, I want to ask you about last season, 2022, with the Eagles in a second, but you mentioned you were just trying to stay above water, right? And survive that rookie year. Were there legit moments where you thought about quitting? Like, this is a lot. Am I supposed to be doing this? Was there moments because it was so overwhelming?
100%. Yeah, I think there was 2 to 3 times I can remember rookie year in Denver, where I was in my truck in the parking lot in tears, thinking, I don't know if I can get through this day. Just because I grew up, my dad is very encouraging. It's kind of how I thrive off encouragement, and to go somewhere where the coach is the complete opposite of what you grew up with or what you're used to was really hard. And then on top of that, adding, this is a week to week job, right? You have to perform every week, and so you put the coaching style was completely different. The expectations was something that I've never experienced in my life. It was a lot, and there was multiple times where I just thought, I don't know if I can do this. And I tried to rely on my ability to try to get through, and really, the Lord, just, he had me along the way, and I had to trust in him and kind of learn a new level of trust and faith, through that whole process.
Wow. Yeah, I just have to imagine it's this whole identity issue is so often brought up when I talk to athletes. And when you are on a performance basis, when you're in a performance-based job, especially when it's week to week, as opposed to maybe with Tennessee, you had the contracts and the confidence from the staff that, that you're our guy here. And for 13 years, obviously, you were able to do that. But to think week to week, and if I don't perform, I'm not worthy. They could cut me. From a believer's perspective, that's a wrestle. I have to imagine a tug, a nudge, if you will, of kind of battling back and forth every week with, okay, God, my identity's in you, but wait a minute here, I have to perform every single week.
Yeah, it's a complete opposite of my faith, right? You know, I know I'm not worthy, but the Lord came and, you know, I mean, I'm bought with a price, right? Yes. He died on the cross to save us, right? And so I just, you know, there's times, you know, even just through life, it's like I do something around the house and it's like, hey, is this good enough, right? Because I'm so wired to kind of a performance-based business. And if you don't perform, you're gone, right? You're done. You're just somebody else, and they'll just get somebody else to replace you. So that's been, you know, that's probably the hardest thing I dealt with in my career was just that performance base. And even being in Nashville here for 13 years, you're always, you're kind of always up against, well, you know, now it's your age or your contract. Are you too expensive? Or there's always something in the NFL. Like there's so many isms for the NFL, right? The no fun league, the not for long league, the no fair league, mm-hmm. the no loyalty. You know, there's just so much that guys talk about in the locker room with what it means. And it's true. Right? It's one of those things where it's a week to week. And you have to perform, and it's just completely opposite of how the Lord views us. And thankfully, I was able to, as I kind of got older and really just kind of resting in that and settling in that, like, hey, you know what? Like, yeah, this is what I do for a living, but that's not who I am, right? And I think a lot of times, too, you see guys that are done with football and they retire. It's hard knowing that the feeling you get on Sundays, the adrenaline rush, that won't be replicated. But then also, like, at a point in my career, you know, for about a 2 or 3 year span, like I was considered the best in the world at what I did, right? And so what else am I going to be able to do that in, right? Right. And so guys struggle with that, the identity of that feeling of, you know, on Sundays and winning and, you know, being the best at something and viewed as that, right? So, it's been something that through 15 years and even in college a little bit, you know, I've really just taken it, to the Lord every time that I really struggle with that. And it was a weekly struggle for a long time.
When did you realize, or maybe even take us through the progression of being a football player and understanding you had a great platform to share Christ with others, to be a witness for Christ, to walk with teammates who are growing in their faith, to have those teammates walk with you? What was the evolution of that when you started to really settle in and realize that this platform of football, as great as it is to play it, could be a real cool platform to be open about your faith?
Yeah, honestly, the first kind of that hit me moment was actually in college when I was a sophomore. And I did all the, you know, I went to the Bible studies and the chapels and all that kind of stuff. It was kind of outspoken. But then, you know, I went to a party and one of the seniors, he came up to me and he was just like, hey, I didn't know, like, you know, because I was drinking and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, hey, I didn't know Christians got down like this. Right. And I was just kind of like, kind of thought about it. And, you know, at that moment I was thinking, what kind of testimony am I offering here? Right. When people see me, what do they think of me? Right. And I'm not saying like they're, you know, dictates how I act or anything like that, but it was more of a, someone noticing like, hey, I see you at all the Bible studies. I see you at all this, but here you are, you know, kind of contradicting what you're doing throughout the week. And so that was kind of a moment for me that, it's like, man, I'm like, people are watching, right? People are watching. And so taking that to the NFL and, obviously, you know, having the opportunities to go speak, whether it's at some youth groups or certain events, People are watching. Guys are watching the locker room, the conversations that I had in the locker room or getting ready for practice. And the hot tub was kind of like the spot. Like that was like it was kind of interesting that when I was reading about Christie's book, like the pool of Bethesda, and right, and like that was like the place, right, where people came, they talked, they gossiped, they did everything, right? And here I am, 2,000 plus years later, and like we're at the hot tub, right, getting ready for practice, and that's where like guys talk, and the conversations that I had, they had to be short, right, because if you stayed in there longer than 10 minutes, you're in trouble. But it was the questions that guys would ask me, like, hey man, how do you not cheat on your wife? Like, well, how do you cheat on your wife? Like, the questions and the topics that guys talked about. And yeah, I mean, it was just, I told myself, like, guys are watching, right? So that's something that I always kind of held on to.
Did you have a favorite God moment? And that's a sort of wide opening question, but God moment as an NFL player that you can think about?
I mean, I've had several. Yeah, I mean, I got some that are still, on my phone, kind of in my notes, right? I think, oh man, I just honestly, like, I've had a lot of them, but I think for me, a big one was in 2017, the first Pro Bowl. And I think for the first 10 years of my career, I was so caught up in stats and, where am I? I want to get to the Pro Bowl. I want these accolades, right, to kind of prove to myself of how good I think I am, right? And stat watching is dangerous at my position, just because, the guy ahead of you is a yard ahead of you. So what are you going to go out there in the game and do? You're going to go out there and you're going to try to do what you need to do to get ahead of somebody. Is that the best for the team all the time? Not really, right? And so I was a stat watcher. And so I really felt like in 2017, it was just, hey, you know what? You're trying to do this on your own. Just stop. Stop looking around at everything else that's around you. Stop looking at stats. Just take each game that comes. Yeah, take each game that comes and just don't stat watch. And so I did that. That year, I did not look at stats. I just looked at kind of the game plan that was, hey, what do we need to do to win? Right. And some games, it wasn't what I wanted it to be, but we won. Other games, I was called to really crank some from backed up. And here I go at the end of the year. I mean, I think there's only two games left, and we vote for Pro Bowl, and I look at the stats for the first time all year, and it is like, oh my goodness. Like, and I remember where we were at. We were at a hotel in Arizona because we were playing the Cardinals. And then the following week, we were at San Francisco. So we stayed out there the whole week. And we voted on a Wednesday. It was Wednesday morning. And I just remember looking at the sheet and just, I was so emotional that I had to get up and get out of the room. And I just broke down because I didn't realize, like, it was just one of those moments I was like so overcome with. Just thankfulness and gratitude of just how, man, like, look what the Lord has done, right? And I remember having those feelings back in training camp of, hey, this is just what you need to do this year. I just really felt like the Lord was telling me to do this. And yeah, that was a really big moment. Probably, yeah, that's probably the biggest aha, God moment for me in my career.
That's an awesome story. I can imagine just that idea of gratitude. That's what we talked about when you and I talked at the Super Bowl last year on opening night. You mentioned that word gratitude a lot in that song by Brandon Lake. Last year was a really fascinating year because I mean, I don't know your mindset. We haven't talked before that too deep, but you were cut by the Titans in August of 22, and obviously you put a whole note out and with tons of gratitude in that note, thanking the organization for being a part of that. I have to imagine it was still difficult. And then all of a sudden, the Eagles lose their punter and you get a call and you're on a team that's about to make it a run to the Super Bowl. And then like you said, you don't get to play in the Super Bowl. I have to imagine the whirlwind of ups and downs, even that year of 2022. Well, take us through that, and maybe even what God was kind of showing you when you were waiting, and then ultimately you get the call from the Eagles, and then you're in these games that are pretty important games, these playoff matchups to get them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was I think, getting cut in Nashville was pretty tough because I did a lot that off season, diet wise. Really got my body in really good shape because at 36 years old, right, you're trying to keep up with a 23-year-old kid that can just flat out pound a football, right? And I got 50,000 punts under my leg, right? And so it's a
Yeah.
little different, but I put a lot of effort into it, and I just felt like, you know what, you're in shape, just keep going and see what the Lord has, right? And so I had a couple workouts, Indy, Arizona, and then Philly called on a Sunday. I literally got home from church, and I just felt like it was a really good opportunity. And so not the easiest place to go to and punt in December and January,
Yeah,
Philadelphia, but
exactly.
it was a good experience. I knew a lot of the people up there already that were on the staff and some of the players. And so the hardest part was having a rhythm, really, of 13 years with the Titans, with what I did with my body, at the facility, out of the facility, the chiropractor I saw, the body work that I got done, to go up to a totally different city, and all that's just, it's gone, right? And so you're trying to figure out a new routine and a new schedule pretty quickly. And so and really, on top of that, the hardest part for me was being apart from my family, right? Especially the holidays, Christmas, New Year, all that stuff. And to be away from them was really, really tough, because my wife is my biggest supporter. She knows, she just knows what it takes out of me mentally, physically, and emotionally. And she knows how to encourage and kind of recharge me. And so to not, after practice, to come home and see my kids and my wife, it's really, really hard. And to really do everything over Zoom or FaceTime. I just remember one time getting on FaceTime and just setting my computer up on the counter. She's like, "Do you want to talk?" I said, "No, I just want to hear the sounds of home, right? So just leave it on the counter. Mine's on the counter, and I just want to hear the kids, just playing or, whatever, getting ready for dinner." And so there was definitely some of those times too. But to go through the playoff hunt and for my family to be able to experience, on the field after NFC Championship win and the confetti and all that stuff, and for them to even come out to the Super Bowl was a really special experience. And I thought I was going to play, but obviously the Lord had other plans, and that's okay. Like, that's just, obviously He knows what's best. I might not understand it at the time, or at the moment, but I was just thankful from a standpoint of, I've never been here before. I've never been able to experience a Super Bowl, and the Eagles were honestly probably kind enough to not release me when the other punter was ready to come back. They could have released me and opened up a roster spot. And I think that would have been devastating to go through December, January, and then all of a sudden get cut the week of the Super Bowl. Would have been that would have been really, really tough. But it was tough being on the sidelines, just because, like, I'm a competitor. I want to be out there. I want to be playing. But then also on the other standpoint, I was like, man, this is really cool to experience this. And so I'm just going to soak up every moment. Wish the outcome was a little different. I've gotten Mahomes beat when I was in Tennessee, that he beat us in the AFC Championship game, and then he just got a Super Bowl ring from the Eagles. But I was just thankful for the whole process, and it really helped. It really helped me in making the decision to be done with football, and say, hey, you know what? This has been a really, really good 15-year career, and this is a really good way to end it.
And not a bad way to say, okay, even though you didn't play, your very last game that you were on a roster was the Super Bowl. The very last game that you actually punted was an NFC Championship game that you won. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not walking out, on top with a Super Bowl victory, but it's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not a home run in the ninth inning of the world, but I mean, I felt like it was a home run in the seventh inning, right? Maybe.
It's pretty
So,
good. It's pretty
yeah,
good.
I mean, it was a really cool experience, and for the kids to come, and family, and just to experience really the week of what it is to go through a Super Bowl. And obviously, when we talk the media night, I mean, that whole night is just, that's a little overwhelming, right? You're walking around
Chaos.
and people are
Chaos.
asking you some of the most random questions you can think of.
Yeah.
But it was, just like I said, I mean, just soak it all in and really was just thankful for the week, and that's how it ended things.
Yeah, I was probably the most normal question you were asked, and yet it was probably the only person, or maybe one of the few, that actually asked you about your faith. So I don't know, but I've been to many of those myself, covering them for both ESPN and now Sports Spectrum, and it's just chaos. Like it's like you stand in line, even for Brett Kern standing there walking around, there's three or four deep every time because everybody wants to ask a question, even if they're those crazy questions. If I could have every journalism experience a Super Bowl media night or media day, whatever it was before, just once, and have them understand, like, this is nuts. It's just chaos.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's chaos. Yeah, that's probably actually a organized way of putting it. If there's another word for chaos, that would be it. But yeah, it was. I was thankful. I was like, I think at that point when you came over to me and you started asking, I was like, Sports Spectrum. Okay. I was like, oh, finally. Okay. Now I can actually. I know what this is. I know this interview is going to be about, and I know that I'm going to like it. So I'm
Yeah.
down. Let's do this. Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was good timing. I'm glad the Lord got us an opportunity, even if it was for like 3 or 4 minutes to talk. And this has been great too. I do have to ask you one kind of funny question. Your career, I went back and looked in terms of stats. You said you're a stat watcher. You had one completed pass in your career for 11 yards. I think I'm right on that from what I saw. And you played all of those seasons, right? 16 seasons. How many times was a play put into the game plan that you had throwing a pass on a fake punt or something, and then not actually have it happen in the game? Were you prepared to throw more than just one pass over 16 years, I have to imagine?
Absolutely. There was one particular fake that we worked on when we actually reported in April and May. It was one like you're in the punt formation, you have the two guys on the outside called the gunners, and they would run 10 yards and stop, or wherever the first down marker was. Usually it was 10 yards, 9 yards, and they would stop. They would just run like a little long hitch route. And I, as the punter, would take it, pretend like I'm going to kick it, and I would just chuck it out there. Well, what they did was at the time in April and May, you have probably, oh gosh, probably 8 to 9 guys on each side. You probably have 20 guys that potentially could play gunner. And so what they do is, okay, hey, let's see who can catch. And April and May, we'd start practicing this fake. And then practice it. And then it got to the season. And it's like, okay, hey, we're playing the Broncos this week. This jammer over here is known for playing off. We think we can run this fake. Okay, boom, we're gonna practice it. Do we run it in the game? No, right? Two weeks later, you might be playing, hey, we're playing the Texans. This jammer over here, he plays off and he plays inside technique. Boom, we can hit him on this. Let's practice it. We probably did that for I probably practiced that particular fake for 4 or 5 years and never ran it.
Oh my gosh. 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now the one time we actually did play the Texans in Nashville, and we ran. So when you put two guys to one side, the guy on the inside is now eligible for pass interference. Okay. The guy on the outside, if you were to throw, somebody could go over there and tackle him. You could do whatever you want legally. And there's no pass interference, but the guy on the inside, he now pass interference is there. And so we ran this route concept, but the guy on the inside is supposed to go deep. I mean, deep down by the, and it ended up being a
Wow.
40 or 50 yard throw. And I chucked this thing and it was a really good throw. And he forgot to kind of come back to it a little bit. Because for me, throwing at 45 yards, that's all I had in the tank. Right. And so, it was right on the goal line. He probably thought I was going to throw it, back in the end zone, and there was potential, but it was incomplete pass. But still, really, all that to say is 4 or 5 years of doing it, and I threw it once, and it wasn't even what we were practicing. So,
Preparing for the moment, even if it doesn't come.
yeah. I mean, the one that we did run, the little PP out to the flat with Kevin Byard. We practiced that one for probably that man. That one's always in the repertoire. That one's so when we did throw it, it was kind of like, okay, like I've done this. I probably made this throw 500 times in practice throughout my career. Like, okay, here we go. And you just do it, throw it off, and he runs for a first down, and okay, cool, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a pretty good completion percentage, right? It's only, is it one for one in your career, technically?
I have no idea. I usually get asked how many tackles have I made, and I correct him, and I say, well, how many times was I a speed bump? Because I felt like I got ran over a couple times more than actually making the tackle. But I think being a speed bump a couple of times actually registered a tackle for me once or twice.
Okay, so. Well, that's good. Well, you got tackles, we got passes. I mean, we're stat watching Brett Kern in a different way than you were stat watching throughout your career.
That's right.
Listen, one last question here. I just want to ask, as you now are retired, and I know you talked about just being home with your family, being able to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas with them in the holiday season, where do you see God directing your steps kind of post-playing career? What's the direction you see him taking you?
Yeah, that's something that I'm in the midst of kind of journaling about. I've done something for, like I said, since high school, right? Yeah. And here I'm at a point where I can sit back and kind of just see what the Lord wants me to do next. And I honestly really don't know. I just know that there's times for a season of rest. You know, I think that's biblical, of just resting and kind of seeing what the Lord wants. And so I do know, you know, I want to do something that's the kingdom minded. And I know you can do that with any job that you have, as far as furthering the kingdom and bringing people to Jesus and being a testimony of his light. I was just reading about Paul and how he was a tent maker. Like, yeah, he did all of his ministry on top of making tents and earning a living, right? Which is crazy to me, because I mean, you read the Bible and it's just filled with his travels and where he's going, and he just picked up shop and made tents and made a living during the day. And then obviously was, you know, debating in the synagogues at times when he wasn't making tents. And so, you know, I know that whatever job you can do, you're a light, you're a testimony. But you know, I think for me, where I'm at is, you know, just wanting to do something that's really kingdom minded. And I don't know what that looks like, and that's okay. I'm in a moment of not knowing. And so that's, for someone that kind of wants to know, right? And I think a lot of people are like that, especially in our culture. It's like, the patience is, you know, I'm trying to teach it to my kids. Like, you don't need to know everything right now.
Right.
Right. It's actually not healthy. and so it's okay to wait. It's okay to be patient. And so here I am in this time of just seeing what the Lord has next. And, you know, I really am intrigued, to potentially go back to school and just learn more, you know, theologically, Bible studies, you know, and kind of just gaining more knowledge of the word. And if I can do that and then kind of see where that takes me, that'd be great. So
love it.
We'll see. But I'm not a big journaler. I'm not. My wife is, and I love that about her, because she can write down her thoughts and where she's at. And I'm starting to realize, like, man, this is something that I should be doing, just so I can look back. And like I said, I have notes in my phone of kind of aha moments of games and whatnot. Well, I should be doing that with life, like just writing things down and then being able to go back and look and see where I was and where the Lord's brought me. So,
that's cool.
It's a process that, just staying faithful to and see what the Lord has next.
Well, this podcast can serve as a journal in many ways, because in a year or two, we can maybe look back and we can remember what we were talking about and then have you back on and say, see where he took you, Brett? That's pretty cool. So awesome, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Great to talk to you. And hopefully we have you back on, like I said, in a year or two and see what the Lord's doing in your life. But I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason. Take care.
And many thanks to Brett Kern for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. Lots to digest from that. I really enjoyed his stories of the fake punts that they had put in as a member of the Titans for so many years. Imagine 5 years practicing a fake punt and finally throwing a pass in a game after 5 years. That's a long time, but pretty cool stories there. Lots of great stuff on his faith and retirement, resting in God's promises, and God's direction, and he's just awesome. So really appreciate Brett for being our guest on Sports Spectrum. And again, that book that he mentioned that he's reading or has recently just finished, it's called Rediscovering Israel, A Fresh Look at God's Story in Its Historical and Cultural Contexts. Christy McClellan is the author, and you can pick up a copy if you're interested. I think I am very interested, and I'm going to get a copy of that book to read as well. Thanks to Brett Kern for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well for tuning in and listening and engaging in our Sports Spectrum podcast. Please consider sharing this with someone else and letting them know that Jesus is in the world of sports and working pretty well. And that's what we want to do, is keep Jesus in this conversation and highlight all that he is doing in the midst of the coaches and athletes and broadcasters and other people in the world of sports here at Sports Spectrum. So please share this with someone. Click that subscribe and follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on. That way you don't miss any more episodes of Sports Spectrum. And please do join us next time for another conversation on the intersection of sports and faith. We are Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.